I wanted to talk to you about the hearings at the EPA, and it's back to the usual situation of Trans-Tasman Resources making an application and various community organisations and environmental organisations and the fishing industry opposing it, I think. Is it just a week of hearings? Is there more to go? Just where are we in the process at the moment?
Yeah, so this is after the EPA originally consented the application back in 2017. It was overturned at three courts. We all appealed it, and it was overturned all the way to the Supreme Court, and then the Supreme Court sent it back to the EPA for reconsideration in light of the Supreme Court's decision. So that's the process that we're in now. It's not a new application; it's the same application, but the decision makers are making a decision based on what the Supreme Court directed them, how to look at it. So that, that's the stage.
Can I just leap in? They directed them on points of law, that sort of thing.
Yes, that's right. They basically, the EPA in the previous decision to grant consent, they did not apply the law properly on several counts.
Right, on several counts.
So this time they need to apply the law properly. We've got a decision-making committee that's made up of five members, and they all seem reasonable. Through last week, they were asking good questions. there's a sense of hope around that side of it anyway. At least they're not leaning one way or the other.
I saw you on Facebook saying that it was, you had to grit your teeth, basically, my words, while you sat through TTR submissions. Is there anything new? Yeah. Have they got anything new in there, any actual evidence? Because that seemed to be the issue in the past.
No, they haven't done any. They have not done any new research. They haven't done any new research really since 2014 when they first failed. They just do a bit of desktop study, pull in some other observations from other places and try and spin a yarn that way. What's really weird about where it's at now is that they're asking to do the baseline studies that they should have done before they even put in their application. They're asking to get consent, and then they'll do 2 years of baseline studies and monitoring, and then between getting the consent and starting to mine. It's totally backwards, and it's really bizarre. We recall back in 2016 when they first proposed this, and we just couldn't believe it was so out of the box. But right now, that's what's being considered.
Does the panel kind of try to keep a poker face, or do they look a bit sceptical about moves like that?
They're very much keeping a poker face. They want to make a decision that because whether it goes our way or TTR's way, the only way either any parties can appeal the decision is on points of law. So the decision making committee needs to keep very neutral throughout the process. They need to follow all of the stories and get to the bottom of all of the assertions, and then make a decision based on that. And if they breach the law in any way, and if they breach the law, TTR can appeal to the High Court, and we can go back for a round of that sort of nonsense, which we don't want. So it looks like it's going to be a proper process. At the beginning of the week, the Ngāti Ruanui was there in force, and they've been there in force all week. And then a bunch of community members and surfers and so on came down for the opening, and Greenpeace was there, Chasm was there, just expressing our opposition generally to this proposal and seabed mining generally. So the opposition's still there, it's still strong, and Chasm and Greenpeace have been side by side on this, and we've worked together, and our lawyers were there, and we had a couple of experts. We had three experts appear before the decision-making committee, one on blue whales, describing the blue whale population that exists in Taranaki, in the South Taranaki Bight, that would be impacted. Dougal Greer from Whangaroa presented on the plume modelling. He was critiquing TTR's plume modelling, basically TTR's talking a load of rubbish. They're measuring the plume based on a 7-second period swell as the average, which we on the West Coast know that 7-second swell is not the one that creates energy and disrupts things.
Right, right.
So just things like that. And then we also had John Cockrum, who gave evidence on seabirds, and particularly the korora, the little blue penguin. And what's coming clear through his evidence is that the area that they want to mine is an extraordinary sort of geologic feature in along New Zealand's coastlines. It's shallow water all the way out to about 40 plus kilometres. You know, it's less than 30 metres deep.
Right.
Out to around 40 kilometres. So, and it's perfect habitat for foraging. There's lots of reefs in that area. So it's a special place that they want to mine.
So when was the head of TTR some years ago described it as a desert out there, he was wrong.
Continues to do so. It's bizarre. Even in more recent articles where he's pushed his narrative, he says there's nothing out there that can get damaged. We've proven that this is safe, which is total BS.
Someone showed me something they'd put. It might have been in a trade journal or something like that, where they actually said there would be damage, but it would be repaired within 2 years. Are they pushing that line as well?
But they quite simply don't know that. They don't even know what exists there, let alone how it might repair itself, or they just haven't done the science that's required to describe the marine environment or the impacts that would happen.
Okay.
They're asking to do it. They're asking to do the science after they get consent, which is just ridiculous.
And is clearly admitting that they haven't done it, if they're saying they want to do it later.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah. And it was in the previous hearing on this, they just sort of dreamed up this idea halfway through that we'll fill the information gaps in the 2 years after we get consent before we start mining. And
So are there? I know that you're now over in Noumea, but is the hearings? Are the hearings continuing down
back
here?
Yes. So there's another that was going to be 2 days in April and then 3 days in May, but they're now making it 3 days in April, 3 days in May, and they're probably looking to do more days in June. And that's a reflection of the complexity of the issue and the amount of information that they need to consider, which maybe they underestimated when they set the initial dates. But TTR basically took a lot longer. They were first up last week, and they took a lot longer than expected to tell their story.
Okay.
So it'll be ongoing for a few months.
Although it does sound like it's basically a repeat screening of what happened in 2017.
Yeah, I would have thought the only information that was really to be discussed would be, and that might be the case, but also the decisions are having to come up to speed on the issue, you know, from scratch. So,
right.
I guess there's going to be more dialogue than expected. Yeah, it's not as communication though.
Oh, can you say it again, Phil? Your voice broke up a little bit there.
Sorry, it's not as intensive as the original applications.
Okay, all right. Now you spoke at the screening of Deep Rising, did a Q&A after that film. That was probably a couple of weeks ago now.
Mm.
That was, I presume, you'd seen the film before.
I had seen it before, yeah.
Yeah, I knew that I would be seeing weird and wonderful creatures that exist at the bottom of the sea because I'm kind of aware of that, but I was still blown away by the, I don't know what to call it, the sheer creativity of the life down there. That was quite remarkable. At the same time as that, we were seeing the politics, which is a bit more depressing, but the sea life down there is astonishing.
It is. It's unbelievable. And, yeah, look, just alien life forms existing in our oceans. So we're going to be doing another screening. Date's not set, but in the next 2 to 3 weeks, I believe, we'll do another screening. So keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, I'm sure Peggy will come and let me know as soon as she has a date. And there was fast track.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, you want to talk about fast tracking? Let's talk about fast tracking.
Let's talk about fast tracking.
Yeah.
So government, they submitted the new government submitted a draft bill for fast tracking projects of national and regional significance, and that means that if a company proposal is accepted to be on the list of projects that the government thinks is of national significance, the company can submit its information to a panel that is appointed by the ministers, and rather than going through the proper EPA process or the RMA process, they just submit it to a panel of three who look at the information. And at this stage, it looks like there will be no opportunity for the public to engage and make submissions and share information. And then the panel just advises the minister which way to go, and then the minister signs it. So it's pretty scary, generally. And Seabed Mining and TTR, that project could potentially be on the list of projects. We've had some kind of helpful information come through in the last week or so, where Shane Jones, he's one of the ministers, Shane Jones from the New Zealand First Party, is one of the ministers that would be making decisions, and he has recused or withdrawn himself from considering whether TTR's project should be on the list. And I suspect that's because he's had pressure from the fishing industry.
Well, there's a press release from Cindy Baxter, chairperson of Kiwis Against Seabed right. Mining, basically stating that, which is it's hilarious, really. Makes him look like a bumbling fool, which I suspect might be close to the truth.
Yeah. I mean, he must have just like, oh yeah, so the mining industry wants this. Yep, okay. Well, yeah, we'll include that, without thinking, without actually looking into Seabed Mining generally or who's been opposing it. And of course he's always been an operator for the fishing industry when he's in Parliament. So
I want to get into some speculation, just trying to understand, like, so he heard from presumably he heard from the fishing industry and they said words to the effect of isn't our support of our financial support of your party good enough? Isn't our money good enough? And he's kind of pulled back. But does that also mean the kind of a message has gone through not to oppose the fishing industry within New Zealand First?
Well, I don't think New Zealand First opposes the fishing industry anyway. They do generally do the fishing industry's bidding in Parliament, and that's sort of a long-standing thing. And he's the Minister of Oceans and Fisheries, so that's a bit concerning from a fisheries management perspective. That might, sustain healthy ocean. I think money, yes, who knows, but it's really the fishing industry has opposed seabed mining strongly. They've thrown a lot of money and resource and time at opposing it from the all three applications that CASM's engaged in as well. So, they've really gone, look, this isn't good for the ocean, this isn't good for fishing, don't support it. Like you say, we might stop supporting you. I think that's fair
comment. Okay. Now I know I interrupted you before. Was there further stuff about that fast tracking that you had to say?
Yeah. So the other thing that I didn't see it, but I've seen the text that around it. But Jack Tame interviewed Chris Bishop, who's the National Party MP, who has driven this fast tracking legislation, and he questioned him on projects. He said, "So, coal mines, will that be included? Yes. Big roads, yes. Wind farms, yes. Seabed mining, possibly." Something else, yes. So he sort of wasn't he was sure about the other things that would be included, but he wasn't sure about seabed mining. So that's a small indication that that there's still a window of opportunity to have seabed mining not included in the fast tracking legislation.
Yeah, and there's some lobbyists in his ear at the moment.
And selector as a committee process or something similar where we as the public can make submissions on the. So I would encourage, and we can keep folks updated through the CASM channels. I would encourage people to submit generally against the fast track bill, but specifically against seabed mining being included in it.
Okay, yeah, that's so. Yeah, as soon as we know about that, so that complete list, we haven't got the complete list yet from the government, and we haven't seen the legislation.
They haven't made that public, and I don't know if they will anytime soon. But we can assume we know that they're considering seabed mining, whether it should be there or not.
I guess they'd actually like to not make it public at all. It would make their life easier.
Well, that's right. They wouldn't have 1,000 groups jumping up against them, you know.
Hey, and I had I remember there was something you said either during the interview that I did with you last time or after the Q&A at the showing of Deep Rising about the it's kind of a PR line that if we go and mine the seabed, then we won't have to mine the land. And I did have someone email me with that argument, and I was very happy to use the point you made, which is that the people doing the seabed mining don't have any control over the companies doing the mining on the land. Like, there's no mechanism to actually stop the land mining if you go to seabed mining.
No, it would likely have a negative impact on, you know, the management of land mines, because the price of minerals would be pushed down. So companies working on land would likely reduce ESG sort of side of things to stay profitable. I think, you know, there's absolutely no need for us to go to the ocean for the minerals and metals that are needed for the green transition. There's lots of papers describing that as fact. And on land we can at least, you know, track what's happening. We can contain the impacts, and we know what it is.
Yeah.
In the ocean, we don't.
What about the issue that people say because of that? This what they're calling the green transition. Everything's going to be electric. We need all this stuff to make batteries.
So I think basically the technology for battery technology, which is the main user of you know, critical minerals, I guess, the technology is moving away from the more contentious ones like cobalt and nickel. The one of the front runners in battery technology is sodium ion batteries, which basically largely made up of salt. So the technology is moving beyond the minerals that are causing problems and that folks are worried about. So I think we do need to transition away from fossil fuels. It does make sense, and yeah.
Okay. All right. We heard that nice and clear. So, Phil, thank you for your time this morning. Appreciate doing the interview at a drop of a hat, and enjoy your time in Noumea. I know you're not there on holiday, but at least it's nice and warm over there.
Thanks, Aaron.
Okay. See you, Phil.
Good, mate. Bye-bye.
All right, folks. That was Phil McCabe there, and we managed to get most of that was all right, I think. Most of that, we got the message. But yeah, hilarious Shane Jones. This is the funniest thing I've read this morning, is that he was all behind seabed mining because that was the first lobbyist that spoke to him. But then the fishing lobbies come back to him and said, "Hey, hold on, bud." New Zealand First is well known for backing the fishing lobby. So there must be some interesting discussions going on behind the scenes at the moment, I would say. Yeah. All right, should we play some music? Actually, we have a little ad break, and then we'll play some music.